5:31. Wrap up of global politics with Dr. Stephen Hoadley, Associate Professor of Politics and International Relations at the University of Auckland's Faculty of Arts. Good morning, Dr. Stephen. And this morning we begin with the President of the US, Donald Trump. A bad week last week, and this week not much better. Why has the US COVID-19 epidemic gotten worse, and why is Trump blamed for it?
Yes, well, good morning, Brian and Tina, and good morning to all the listeners in New Zealand and throughout the Pacific, and also Stuart and Pauline, new listeners to Radio 531 PI. It's not a good week for Donald Trump because the blame for the coronavirus is coming straight not only to his doorstep, but also to the Republican Party. I'm citing an article by the Nobel Prize winner, Paul Krugman, a very respected economist. And he says it is a failure not only of Donald Trump, but of the Republican Party that has allied itself with the virus, that has been irresponsible, that it is Republican governors and senators in which the states have the worst coronavirus records. And if you look at a map of the United States and look at the red states where the coronavirus is increasing in frequency, most of them are Republican-controlled states. So Paul Krugman is quite clear. It is a partisan issue. It isn't America's failure. It's a failure of the Republican Party and of Donald Trump. So we'll leave it there, and we'll see what happens in the future. But this is one very strong opinion by one very well-respected economist.
What's the European response to America's current epidemic?
Well, the Europeans point out that they have now 16 cases per 100,000. The United States has 122 cases, almost 10 times as much in frequency, adjusting for population, of course. And that the Europeans, while they started off pretty badly with the virus, are actually controlling it now much better than the United States. They've compiled a list. They've got their own bubble. We talk about the Trans-Tasman bubble and the South Pacific bubble. The Europeans have created a bubble. And in fact, today, the 1st of July, when that rolls around to the European side, of course, we're ahead of them by 12 hours. We will be able to travel because New Zealand is in the bubble. New Zealand is on the list of acceptable countries along with 15 others. And theoretically, New Zealanders can travel to Europe with the normal controls of testing and contact tracing and perhaps a bit of a self-quarantine. But nevertheless, we're in the bubble. Who is not in? And China is in the bubble. Who is not in the bubble? The United States. Well, this must be a slap in the face of Donald Trump, who made a great play of the fact that, very proud of the fact that he banned travelers from China in March earlier on, and who was thinking of banning travelers from Europe. Well, now the tide has turned, and the Europeans are opening up their doors to us and to other 15 other relatively clean countries and not to the United States.
Trump, President Donald Trump, has also been critical of postal voting. Dr. Stephen, why is such a routing practice become politicised? And maybe for our listeners not familiar with this, maybe you can give an overview of postal voting.
Yes, Brian, this is something that we're familiar with in New Zealand, and most other democratic countries have postal voting. It's usually focused on those who are ill, aged, unable to travel physically to polling places or maybe traveling abroad, and they can then cast a special vote, an advance vote. They can do it by post. They don't actually have to fetch up in person. Well, okay, that's pretty reasonable, I would think, but it's become highly politicized in the United States, and Donald Trump has said, look, postal voting is open to fraud, and counterfeit ballots can flood the United States and change the outcome. His Attorney General Bill Barr has said the same thing. Is there any evidence for this? No, there is not. The experts, the political scientists, and the electoral officers say, well, look, they're puzzled. Where's the evidence of all of this fraud in states that have adopted postal voting already? Well, this ties into a larger question of denying the vote to poor people, because the Republican Party, again, has in the past required people to have photo identification, meaning usually a driver's license. This discriminates against a large number of urban poor who don't have cars, who don't have driver's licenses, and could not identify themselves with photo ID at a polling station. And this is regarded by critics as a deliberate attempt to keep poor people out of the ballot, prevent them from voting. Why? Because they tend to vote Democratic. So the Republican Party and Republican officials in various states have attempted to restrict the vote in order to restrict the Democratic vote, the Democratic Party vote. So again, something as simple as a convenience for the ill or the travelers or whoever has become politicized and become an issue. And we're going to hear more about this as we get closer to the November election in the United States.
Mm. Now on to online platform. Of course, millions of people around the world, Facebook followers. There is a new posting policy. Why is it controversial and who does it apply to?
Well, this has become quite a news item because it affects us all. We're all in social media of one kind or another, Facebook, Twitter, Google, Reddit. The platforms go on and on. And there's an article in this morning's New Zealand Herald, for example, those of you who would want to follow this up. They have all been under fire because radical white supremacist groups, hate groups, even some near terrorist groups have been using these platforms, either encrypted or with subtle code messages, to spread their particular propaganda. Civil rights groups have identified this. They have said this is improper, that the media platform should have the same liability for content as does the print media, and as do you, Brian, as do radio stations. They're covered by the law, and they have to monitor and be sure that hate speech and subversive speech is not given a free media. Well, this bumps right into the principle of free speech. And Mark Zuckerberg, the billionaire CEO who invented Facebook, has defended the fact that platforms should be neutral. They are merely platforms. They don't take responsibility for the content. And this is in the principle of free speech. Well, so free speech collides directly with better public communications and the avoidance of hate speech and other kinds of white supremacist activity. So at the balance is shifting. The social media platforms now have all acknowledged, yes, there is a problem. They are listening to the civil rights groups and the critics, and they are beginning to shift their policy a little bit more. Indeed, several of Donald Trump's platforms have been, programs have been taken down. For example, there's something called the Trump Reddit Forum, the Donald, that's been taken off the Reddit platform. And other things that he has said have either had fact check links to them, which made him very angry, or have been taken down completely from the platform. So I think we're seeing a shift, and the public is getting less tolerant of the unregulated use of the social media platforms for illicit, racist, and disruptive purposes.
Mm. And finally, the Pacific region, a wrap-up of what's happening in the Pacific.
Yes, a mixed picture here, Brian. First of all, some good news for those who support democracy in Fiji. The registrar of political parties in Fiji has lifted the suspension of the main opposition party, SODELPA. He has also approved of the new Secretary General, Emily Dui Tuturanga, as the leader of the party, along with Rabuka, of course. And this means that democracy and a viable opposition and vigorous debate returns to the Fiji parliament. I think we all would applaud this. Also, if you're a Solomon Islanders, you have now a chance to get home. A number of people are going to be returned from Australia, a couple of special flights. We're going to send them home. As we said last week, this is a bittersweet thing. They will rejoin their families, but they're also losing their jobs. Why were they in Australia? To make money, to work, and to send back money. So their return will take them, will empty their pockets, even though it may fill their hearts with the rejoining of their families. A couple of other things. The Western Polynesian area is COVID-free, but Eastern Polynesia, that is French Polynesia, has now had a bit of an uptick, and the French Polynesians may restrict travel. So don't expect to go to French Polynesia in the near future, even though some sort of Polynesian Pacific bubble may be established. Finally, in Vanuatu, a rather disturbing bit of news. Former Prime Minister Charlotte Salwai and a number of his cabinet ministers for agriculture, for health, and others have been indicted for bribery and corruption. Well, this is bad news, but in a way, it's good news. That means corruption is being dealt with. There is a process. Rather than vendetta or clandestine secrecy, this is all going to be out in the open. It's in the courts. They will be given their day. They will be able to defend themselves. If they're guilty, they'll be punished. If they're innocent, they'll be found innocent. So this is the way that corruption and other malfeasance in government should be dealt with in an orderly, lawful way. So I'm going to count this as a partially good news story.
Dr. Stephen Hoadley, Associate Professor of Politics and International Relations at the University of Auckland's Faculty of Arts. Thank you for your time as always, Dr. Stephen, and we'll look forward to your company again next Wednesday morning. Take care and have a great week. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
It's 12 minutes to 8, 5:31 p.m. Pacific People Together.